Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and we have a renowned psychotherapist today who is going to enlighten us on many of the ways that she helps people who come to her because they have problems. And it could be problems in their daily life. It could be problems in their work. It could be problems within their family. It could be marital problems. It could be problems of almost any kind that you can come up with. Sometimes therapists can be a huge help. And our guest specializes in psychodynamic psychoanalytic therapy. I know they're big words, but when we're going to get a definition of them. But this kind of treatment is based on the premise that people are typically not aware of or not conscious of the reasons of why they're having trouble in their life. Our guest says that most people are intelligent enough to know what they need to do, but obviously they can't do it for some reason or another. And that's where psychoanalytically oriented therapy comes in. You look at the patient's past to help find out what is causing the problems today. That's just a brief little description of what our guest, Dr. Shirley Shea, specializes in doing. She has a remarkable background. She's based in Manhattan in New York City, and she obviously has been doing this. She's been doing this for a good while. I could tell you a little bit about her background. She specializes in helping resolving human conflicts wherever they exist. And as I said, it could be in the workforce. She works with people in schools and families, between couples and marriages. She also works with schools around many different issues, such as bullying, learning disabilities, and ADHD and ADD. She works with adults in this area as well. She has many years of training, and it was clear after she earned a master's degree in social work that really wasn't sufficient to do in-depth treatments. And unlike some of those therapists who have only a master's degree, Dr. Shea, in addition to a PhD in clinical psychology, earned 2 certificates in psychoanalysis post her doctoral degree, and yet another 10 years of training. And that's because her postdoctoral training and many years of experience, she specializes in what I just talked about, psychodynamic psychotherapy, getting to the root of conflicts, which helps enable her to work with problems that a person is involved in regardless of the setting. And this could be adults, it could be children, adolescents, it could be problems with individuals on their job, relationships, sexual problems. The problems go on and on. She has dealt with them all, so to speak. So it's a real pleasure to have her with us today. I think you're going to find this very fascinating. You hear so many people talk about, well, I'm in therapy for one reason or another. This is the other side of the coin, so to speak. This is not a person who's in therapy. She's the one who conducts the therapy. So I'd like you to meet her now. Her name, again, is Dr. Shirley Shea. And again, she's in Manhattan. She has a great website. I'll give you that address, and you can learn a lot about her from that website in case you're interested enough in wanting to get in touch with her later on. But let's begin. Dr. Shea, welcome. Nice to have you with us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I was asking you, how are you? Nice to have you with us today. How you doing?
You're nice to be here.
That's good. All right. I just did you hear the introduction I gave you? I gave you a lovely introduction. Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, as you know, I brought up the subject of psychodynamic therapy, and I wondered if you could do me a favor and give me a little definition. What's the fundamental difference between psychodynamic therapy and the more commonly used cognitive behavioral therapy, which I think is, you know, fairly common. How would you answer that question?
Well, what I have to say is I don't really know very much about CBT, except from patients who have come to me after being in CBT who got nothing out of it and then came into treatment, to the kind of treatment I do. There is empirical evidence that supports the efficacy of psychodynamic psychotherapy, which I'll explain a little bit more about in a few minutes. The effect sizes for psychodynamic psychotherapy are as large as those reported for other therapies that have been actively promoted as empirically supported and evidence-based. Additionally, patients who receive psychodynamic therapy maintain therapeutic gains and appear to continue improvement after their treatment ends. This was the research done by Dr. Jonathan Shedler. And it's interesting because, to me, because that's what I was saying before, that I don't know anything about CBT, but when patients came to see me after they've been in CBT, after finishing their treatment, they really were able to change what they were doing that was causing problems in their lives. Psychoanalytic therapy deals with the patient's past. It's always very important when a patient first comes into treatment to get the history, because all of us repeat our past. If it's a good past, that's great. If it's not a good past, obviously not so great, but there is no control over repeating the past. Freud called that repetition compulsion. And we compulsively repeat the past, trying to change it, but nothing changes it until psychoanalytic psychotherapy is done. And in psychoanalytic psychotherapy, you're always listening, having at the beginning of the treatment, in the consultation, gotten the history so that you could hear what in the patient's present life are they repeating from their past. And you continually interpret that, make the patient conscious of what they're repeating to the point where they become aware of it. Often they're not aware of it for a long time, meaning the analysts are constantly interpreting that when you see that that's what the patient is doing. I can go on now to the different phases, you want to ask me a different question before I do that.
I want to ask you a couple of questions here, because what you're saying is many of these problems are being caused by things that people do over and over again. But the point is, as I understand it, psychodynamic psychoanalytic treatment is based on the idea that people don't know what they're doing.
No, they don't.
To cause them to have these problems. They're not conscious.
The analyst, makes the patient conscious of what they were unconscious of, so that they start becoming aware of what the issues are.
So the key is, how do you discover what the problems are? It becomes apparent to you. You're trained to recognize these things. Explain to me how you discover what it is, so that you can illuminate your patients as to why they're having their problems.
The most important thing is what I've said in the consultation. You get a history from the patient, so that when you hear the history, you keep that in your mind, so that when you're listening to the patient, you could hear what they're repeating, and then you point it out to them to make them conscious of it.
Well, give me an idea of what you're talking about. I mean, and these are things that are causing them problems in many aspects of their life. It could be on the job, could be with their wife, you know, in their family, with their kids, whatever. Give our audience a clue, an example of what you mean.
Okay. I teach psychodynamics psychotherapy. The other day, Monday night, I had a class where the student who's presenting the patient, I'll try and be as brief as I can so that I don't just get into the history. But
it's okay.
The father of this patient complained that the mother forced him to move to a different city, and he lost his job, and he was always furious with her. That came out in the history. The patient, at the beginning of treatment, talked a lot about how his present wife is making him move to Philadelphia, where I shouldn't really have said that, making him move somewhere else, and he didn't want to move there, but she wants him to do that. There was no, actually, the student nor the patient made that connection. When I was teaching in the class, I was making that connection, and it became very clear to all the students in the class how, oh, wow, he's repeating exactly what happened in his past. So what he is doing is identifying with the father and allowing the women in his life to do just what his mother did with his father. And he's going to other city, even though he doesn't want to go, but he's going because his wife insists on him going.
In other words, he's letting her push him around. Is that
the
way to put it? Okay.
Absolutely the way to put it.
That's very understandable, you know. I get it. Okay. So that's the root cause for many issues that he was having as a result of having made the move that she insisted on, right?
That's right. Not wanting and not realizing that's exactly what happened with his father.
Okay. In other words, he didn't stand his ground.
That's right.
How do you help someone like that? Well, obviously, you make them aware of it, and then when he goes back to see his wife, all of a sudden he's mad now that he didn't stand up to her, right?
Okay, I can't say much about that particular patient because, you know, in other words, he's not my patient.
No.
But in general, with any patient that I have, you keep making that interpretation every time you see the patient doing something like that, like a broken record. You go over and over and over till eventually, well, that's the first phase of treatment. The next phase of treatment is the patient begins to see for themselves what they're doing that they are repeating. And in other words, they repeat it again and then say, oh, I won't say the bad word.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing that again. You know,
I was going to ask you, does it mean, all right, that particular patient was submissive to his wife and he caved into what she wanted. Does it mean he also does that in other aspects of his life with other people, like his boss at work or, you know, other people he deals with?
Because he's not my patient, but I could say that I'll speak about one of my patients because obviously I'll know better,
This is
a new patient, a student, and I don't know the details enough about his life as I would about my own patient. But
let me ask
you
some.
Patient who's,
go ahead. That's good.
Yeah. I have a patient who is the oldest in his family, and his father worked all the time, and his mother couldn't handle things and always did everything for his mother as soon as he was like old enough to do it. He's done that his entire life. He, to the point where he's now stuck in a relationship where the woman has threatened him. He broke off with her 8 years ago, but he's still there every weekend because she forces him to come and has accused him of things that he's never done and said she would go to the police and accuse him of those things. That is a total repetition instead of saying, no, I'm getting out of here, now he's afraid to get out because of the accusations she's going to make. But he did with her just what he's done with his mother his whole life.
Wow. That's interesting. Tell me, basically, what brings people to you?
The You mean what problems or why?
Yeah,
they would choose?
Yeah. Give me a kind of general description of what causes people to pick up the phone and call you. What are some of the typical reasons?
Well, I could think. I'll give an example. One patient. She felt totally stuck in her life. Didn't know why. Felt it was ruining her life. And so she picked up the phone and called.
Okay.
She's no longer in treatment. She was in treatment for a long time. Her whole life has totally changed. Doesn't feel stuck. Totally changed her life.
Why does therapy seem to take so long? Why do you have people who constantly say, well, I'm in therapy. I have to go to, you know, my therapist. And it sometimes goes on for years with them. Is that typical?
This kind of therapy does go on for years. Other kinds of therapies, not, like CBT is not. But then the things don't change, you know, as Shedler pointed out in his research, you can see in the research done after their treatment how the changes are permanent. It stays with them, whereas not so in other kinds of treatment. It takes so long because it takes, as I said, there are different phases of the treatment, and the first phase, as I said before, is making them aware of what they're repeating. And the next phase is they begin to notice themselves, but then that takes usually about several years for them. They keep doing it, and then eventually in the next phase they see what they're trying to do and stop themselves before they do it. And the next phase after that is they don't think of doing it anymore.
Okay. I want to ask you a question. For people who've never gone to a therapist or experienced it, it's basically you talking with your clients. You're not actually doing any physical treatment on them, are you?
No.
It's mental, right?
Free associations. There's one rule that I'm saying there is, in this kind of therapy, is you have to say whatever comes to your mind. So, in other words, if two friends are talking, they're not going to say everything that comes to every free association that comes to their mind. Normal people don't do that, unless, you know, maybe they're. But in therapy, they're supposed to say whatever comes to their mind, because then the analyst could look at what unconsciously is going on and make the interpretation. There's also what we call transference. The patient relates to, and let me back up for a second, because you know the history, so you understand the transference and what that means. The patient relates to you the way they related to either a mother or a father or someone in their lives, and they transfer that to you, and then you analyze that for them. So, again, they could see their behavior.
You, I understand, really kind of listen to your clients with an almost third ear. You're working through their unconscious aspect of the of your clients
that's
to find out. Yeah,
Theodore
that's
Wright,
it.
Theodore Wright called it that, listening with the third ear.
How do you do that? That's really good. What's the trick?
Not a trick. For one thing, everybody who becomes certified as a psychoanalyst, to become certified, besides all the courses that you study and the patients you see in supervision, you also need to be in your own psychoanalysis so that I've been psychoanalyzed, so that you don't project onto the patient your countertransference, meaning something that comes up that's inside you that you're projecting onto a patient. Because of your own analysis, you're able to separate that.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your journey. I gave a little bit of your background, but why did you decide to pursue this as a career?
Well, I first started out wanting to be a math major. I was excellent in math in elementary school. The grade 7 teacher chose me and another student to do all the report averages of all the students in the class in high school. The math teacher had me explaining the geometry deductions to the students. And so I then wanted a major in math. So when I applied to go to college, I started off with a Bachelor of Science with a major in math. And then, of course, as we all know, that with a Bachelor of Science, you also need to take social sciences and humanities. And so I took a psychology course, and I said, that's it for me. And I switched from a Bachelor of Science to a Bachelor of Arts, majored in psychology, and that's what led me on my traditional road. Yeah.
A lot of schooling, a lot of experience. Do you find you work better with men or women? Or does it not matter?
Doesn't matter, no.
Interesting. No. I'm just wondering, you know, whether a female would feel more comfortable opening up to to another female, where and a man the same, you know, opening up to a man.
Yeah, I have both, you know. Pretty much over the years, equal number of both genders. So,
what do you find are the most difficult cases to deal with?
Well, I just had a new patient who actually, he didn't call me. His mother called me, which was very unusual for someone who's 28 years old. But anyway, she did. She and the patient's uncle wanted him to be in therapy because he is always in a rage about everything, always angry about everything. Anyway, long story short, he did come in, and he started talking about his parents were divorced when he was 4 years old, and his father, who was from Iran, took him back with him to Iran and remarried and married a woman who is a gypsy. I know nothing about this, by the way, but anyway, I'll quote what he said, that his stepmother, the tradition in the gypsy families is when a child misbehaves is to throw rocks at them or throw them on the floor. And so, as I said earlier, history is very important. So I said to him, I see why you get angry. And you couldn't deal. And also he told me he never could deal with it. He had to keep quiet, otherwise you'd throw more rocks at him. And he said, I asked him if his mother knew about this. And he said, no, he never told her. And I hope she's not going to know now, meaning what he was saying is, I hope you're not going to tell her. I said, you may be sure that if you tell me not to say anything, I will never say anything. My mouth is shut. But then his mother called me to say he didn't want to come into treatment anymore. So he just came that one time because he didn't want to deal. The mother didn't tell me that because he didn't tell his mother. But in the session, he had told me he didn't want to deal with the history. Well, you can't do this kind of treatment if you don't deal with the history. So he never came back.
Never came back. Wow.
Yeah. Didn't want to deal with what happened to him. He's angry all the time. I wonder, wouldn't you be angry all the time if somebody picked you up by your legs and smashed you on the floor or threw rocks at you?
I think I would. Absolutely.
We all would.
You know, time is flying by. I want to bring out the fact that I know you work with schools around issues such as bullying and learning disabilities and things of that nature. Do you do that? Where do you do that? You know, how do schools get into it?
Right now I'm not doing it. I did it for many years at Horace Mann School. I don't know if you know, it's a New York school, a private school.
Very famous school.
The guidance counselor died, so I no longer do it there. But I did it for many, many years there. And whenever the guidance department had a student that had difficulties, they'd have me see the student to see what was going on and how to help.
Well, having worked with kids before, do you still work with children today, you know,
yes.
as private patients?
Yes, I do. Children,
how
adolescents.
Are they easy to work with? Do they understand what is going on?
Well, we do what we call play therapy. So you have all kinds of toys, and you particularly have toys that have, like, an adult, children, little objects, so that they, when they're playing, they say things about the things they're playing with, so that you can then see what's happening and make interpretations, and or else help the parents see if the child is too young for that, the parents see what's going on and help the parents to deal better with the child.
And at what age can you really effectively work with a child? I mean, how old does a child have to be?
I've never worked with anyone less than 4. There certainly may be others who have, but I haven't.
Well, that's pretty young. I think another subject that intrigues me is we talked about, you know, psychoanalysis can go on for many, many years. How do you know when the work is done? How does a patient
know? What I
was
saying before about the different phases, that, you know, that they begin to see that they've done what, in other words, I've interpreted so many times, then they begin to see that they're feeling and thinking that way, and they don't act it out. They stop themselves, and then they don't even think about it anymore. It doesn't happen in their lives. That's when the treatment is ready to terminate.
And are you aware of it before they are? Are you the one who tells them, I think you're done?
Yes, sometimes, often. Yes.
Often. That is very interesting indeed. You have a wonderful website. I do need to point out this website to our audience. It's New York City Therapists, with an S, therapists.net. If you go to the website, you will learn a lot about our guest, Dr. Shirley Shea, her background, you know, and how she helps people and the various kinds of things she treats people for. I'm amazed at the various categories that people come to you with. It really runs the gamut, doesn't it? People come to you for all kinds of problems.
Yes.
Are you ever surprised? Do you ever encounter a new problem that you haven't encountered before?
The one of the patient I just told you about, whose mother throws stones at him. Stepmother, rather, not mother.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anything like that before.
Never before. Interesting. And what are the most rewarding kinds of cases to work on, from your perspective?
Well, when you see, like the woman I told you about who felt so stuck in her life, to see how she's changed her life, and what's happened to her and how she lives her life now. But basically that, of how people have stopped acting out their unconscious conflicts and stopped compulsively repeating the past where they had no control over it, and that now they're living a life that feels fulfilling to them.
No, that's so good. Obviously, that's the main point of why they came to you to begin with, to live
exactly
a life more fulfilling.
Yeah.
You've done that. You've done exactly what you should have done, what they came to you for, as I pointed out. Well, our guest has been Dr. Shirley Shea. She is a unique psychodynamic, psychoanalytic treatment specialist. She's based in New York City. I presume to work with you, you have to do it in person. Am I right, doctor?
Yes, although when I've seen patients for a long time and then maybe they have moved but not finished their treatment, I'll do a telephone session, but not with a new patient. I like to get to know them well before I would do a telephone session.
Well,
but
that
right
makes
now
a lot of Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, that really you have to do it in person. Well, doctor, thank you so much. Again, Dr. Shea's website is newyorkcitytherapists.net. And that'll wrap it up, doctor. Thank you for being with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We appreciate you being here. See you next time here on Close Up Talk Radio. Bye for now. Have a great day, everybody.